everyone. Welcome back to the Body Positive Goddess podcast. I hope that you're all doing well. It's been a minute. The semester is over and I am free for like a week, but I am free and I am here. And I had such a journey getting to the end of this semester. It was really freaking difficult, which is why I was virtually radio silent for a little bit. But I'm back and better than ever. Well, I don't know about better than ever, but I'm definitely back. So we're going to keep going on our path of Diotima's ladder. We're halfway through. We're almost there. We're going to be talking about the beauty and love of institutions and laws. And that sounds not so fun, right? Well, that's not true. Because what I'm really going to be doing with this episode is highlighting some of the ways in which society and institutional oppression and feelings towards people with bigger bodies impacts us on a social, moral, emotional, mental, and physical level, and some of the ways in which we can dismantle these laws and institutions to be more beautiful, to be more loving towards plus-sized bodies. So let's get into it. Hi, and welcome to the Body Positive Goddess podcast. My name is Freya Serafina, and I will be your host. On the Body Positive Goddess podcast, we talk all things body positivity, self-love, self-care, with a little bit of magic weaved in. This is my new series called The Mysteries of Eros, where I also incorporate women's spirituality, goddess spirituality, goddess history and lore, and all of the ways in which women, the goddess, and our beautiful bodies have been erased throughout history. Thank you for being here. Let's get started. So you might remember that I was using the ancient Greek priestess and philosopher and mystic Diotima's ladder of love to compare it to different areas of body positivity, because I really found a strong connection there. And I'm going to continue on that path because I started and I want to finish. But if this is not like the most exciting thing for you, I do apologize. I am going to get back to shit talking. I'm going to do a little bit of shit talking today as well. But I do think it's really important to think about on the institutional level, on like the ground level, why we think certain things about people's bodies and their lifestyles, why we criticize and judge people for the kind of body that they inhabit, and why we criticize and judge ourselves. Where does that come from? And not just where does it come from in terms of in the home, the way you were raised, but on a societal level, on a health institutional level, why do doctors ignore people who are claiming that their stomach hurts and that they're sick? And then it turns out they have like stomach cancer, but instead the doctor just said, oh, well, if you lose some weight, you'll be fine. Oh, it's a good thing that you can't eat because you're fat. And then people die, or they almost die, and we ignore them. I think that it's so ingrained in our culture and our society to look at people with larger bodies and assume that on a moral level, there's something wrong with them because they take up space. And what's very interesting, and I'm sure you have noticed this, if you're an actor, a performer of any kind, or a model, you have definitely noticed this, is when we look at female superstars, female actresses, female pop stars, models, very thin or curvy, very attractive. That's always been sort of the stereotype and the stigma that you have to be thin to be attractive, and therefore that's what's going to make you successful. And if you're curvy, then you're automatically a sex symbol, even though, you know, as a woman, you were probably a sex symbol anyway. Now, of course, we've had some progress and we're seeing more bodies that look like ours and actually reflect the world on a whole, but it's very slow moving, right? And if you're at least my age, 31, gonna be 32 in August, you grew up seeing a certain kind of supermodel, right? If you watched like Tyra Banks's show, Top Model, then you know what exactly it is I'm talking about and the effects that it had on people, especially young girls. But also it enters the psyche of young boys and everybody else. Oh, my body is supposed to look like this. Her body is supposed to look like that. If she doesn't look like this, she's not attractive, blah, 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 blah. And when we reinforce these negative stereotypes on a literal institutional level, we do some real harm. Now, I'll tell you a personal story before I dive into the philosophy of the segment. Something I know to be true within my own body is a bunch of the following. Growing up, I was always quote unquote bigger boned, whatever that meant. I went through puberty a bit earlier. I was taller. I had broader shoulders. My breasts came in earlier. And I was treated very differently. You know, my mom told me I was fat and I was probably put on Jenny Craig in like the frickin' sixth or seventh grade or something. I couldn't even tell you at this point. Like, timelines are such a blur to me right now. It's probably like some sort of trauma response my brain is doing to protect me. But it really fucked with me. It's super, super fucked with me. I was always fat. I was always heavy. I was always too big, took up too much space. I wasn't allowed to wear short shorts because my legs were too big. I couldn't wear other certain articles of clothing because I'd be fat and I couldn't pull my hair back a certain way. I was so young and my mom was like, you should be putting makeup on your face because I had acne. All of these terrible things that my body image of myself was so fucked up that when I was like a size 8-10, I thought I was the fattest, most massive, disgusting creature on the planet. And I believed that even when I lost weight, I was now like a medium. I went through college, and in college I was fucking beautiful, but I had no idea. And because I had no idea and I thought I was so unworthy and so disgusting and unhealthy, which, by the way, I was a dancer and an athlete and like probably a little bit lazier than I could have been. But still, I had all of these things. I was going to school for fucking theater and acting, and I was doing dance classes and singing and acting and using my voice. And I thought I was so fat and ugly and disgusting. My first abusive relationship, I thought I deserved it. I thought I deserved it. And society reaffirmed these things that I was told in my home. These institutions and laws, you know, things like BMI and like all of these TV shows and news articles and magazines and media outlets, all of these institutions, fashion institutions, the healthcare on a whole reaffirmed that I am fat and ugly and gross and too big for my age. And I have to shop in like the maternity area or like I remember I saw a couple of days ago, I went to the beach for Memorial Day. It was like my first day off. Then, of course, I get sick, right? Like, your body stops moving for one day and it like goes, ooh, plummet. But I saw this little girl. She had a bit of a belly and she was wearing what I know, what I felt in my soul because I had fucking been there. Someone took her to like the grown adult women's section of like Macy's or JCPenney or Annie Says, if anyone knows, remembers Annie Says, and got her a mature woman's like one piece bathing suit with like the skirt. And if you know exactly what I'm talking about, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Now would I wear one of those because I don't want to shave? Hell yeah. But then I was not allowed to wear like the little girl bathing suit. I couldn't wear, you know, my favorite Disney princess, or I couldn't wear, you know, glitter with the stripes. Oh my God, I was never allowed to wear stripes because stripes, quote unquote, made you look fat. I only had like the woman's bathing suits. And I remember my mom going, well, we can't go to this section because, you know, you won't fit any of those. I'm looking at this little girl and I got so fucking triggered. And I don't even know if like that's a fact, right? I don't know this girl. I don't know her family. I don't know where they went for her bathing suit, but I felt it by looking at that thing, that freaking bathing suit. And I was like, oh my God. And I was so triggered by this. And it really got me thinking about all the ways in which society tells us we are unhealthy because our bodies are larger. Here's another thing I know to be true. Until my mystery illness started to develop about 2 years ago, found out I had PCOS, found out I had an autoimmune disease, almost fucking stopped breathing and die. Until that moment in my life, which, by the way, is not linked to my weight, it's linked to other factors in my personal life, I was not deemed unhealthy whatsoever. I was overweight, and so I was taken to like 3 different doctors because that we were going to do the weight loss surgery, the gastric band or whatever. Every doctor was like, well, you don't qualify. And my mother was going to pay thousands of dollars to take me to Mexico to give me fucking surgery to lose weight because she'd rather take that risk than me be fat. Is that not crazy? And I'm like a young kid, a young girl, a young woman. And I'm like, I'm disgusting. I should get this surgery. I'm so gross. I should get this. You know, I don't want to look like this for the rest of my life. I hate myself. I'm so fat and gross. And so one of the arguments that was always pushed back on me when I tried to address this with my parents later in life was, well, you said you wanted to diet. Well, you said you wanted to go to Jenny Craig. Well, you said you wanted the surgery. Well, yeah, I was taught that I was a horrible creature. I was an absolute horrible creature. And I deserve to be unhappy unless my body looks a certain way. And our laws and our institutions affirm that. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys have just started seeing the news articles and shit about like airlines weighing their passengers. Are you fucking for real? In the middle of the airport in front of all these fucking people? I mean, I saw an image of this woman being weighed like a piece of fucking luggage. And I was like, in what fucking universe have we gotten to this? In what universe have we gotten to it's okay to weigh people like cattle, like belongings, to dehumanize them in front of others, all to save some money because they're trying to be like, well, it's costing us fuel and gas is expensive. Like, get a grip, okay? Get a fucking grip. You know, this concept of BMI was only invented a handful of fucking years ago. It's not even a real fucking thing. Everyone's body is fucking different. Everyone's body is different, and that's okay. And so when I'm looking at Diotima's ladder of love, and she says love of laws and institutions, I mean, I'm sorry, a beauty of laws and institutions getting us towards this full concept of love, I was like, what? What does that even mean? It sounds really unsexy, right? It sounds like, it doesn't really sound like a war cry, like in a protest or on the street or like on social media, right? It doesn't sound like, yeah, beautiful laws, beautiful institutions, woo! It's definitely not sexy. But I think that's part of life too, right? Not every part of life is sexy. Some parts of life are really gross and they're hard and they're difficult and they require a lot of work. But I think when we put in the work to make our society better, to make ourselves better, to make others better, it does become sexy because we're moving towards this concept of integrated love with self and others. So I started to think about that and went, okay, Okay, what do we got here? So when I was doing a bunch of research on this topic, I came across an article by Celine LaBeouf, like Shia LaBeouf, yes, called What is Body Positivity? The Path from Shame to Pride. And Celine's article on body positivity really helped me to connect the movement to Diotima's Ladder. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about my findings as it relates to body positivity. So believe it or not, there are a ton of feminist critiques of body positivity. What? Yes. There are lots of feminists who critique the body positivity movement because they argue there's a focus on, quote, bodily beauty. And they worry that this focus on the body risks perpetuating the demand that we, especially women, should all want to be beautiful. Now, I get that stance. I get it. I do. But I think body positivity, you know, we can go back and you can go back and find a lot of my earlier episodes on the origins of body positivity and how a lot of it is linked to colonialism and racism, systemic issues of oppression that need to be addressed. And in that same vein, body positivity, it's not just, oh, I love my body, I love my body, I love my body, my body's so beautiful, I'm sexy, I'm hot, I'm attractive. It's, I accept my body and I love myself regardless of what anyone has to say about it. Body positivity is so much less about appearances and superficiality than it is about body acceptance and love for oneself and others, and respect for oneself and others. And I think that's a really important distinction to make. But I do understand the argument that women don't need more pressure to be beautiful and look beautiful and be found attractive by others. I'm totally on board with that concept because fuck off, you don't get to tell me what's beautiful and what's not, right? But I think that Diotima offers a really interesting response to this. And there's also, you know, more modern critics that argue that we should transcend beyond placing value on the beautiful body and instead value the body for its capabilities. Now, there's also potential harm in this argument, because if we're focusing just on bodily abilities, we do risk excluding those with disabilities, quote. My argument here, which is also Diotima's argument, is that we step beyond the physical container that is the body and appreciate and express love for what lives within the soul, which is what I argued in my last episode. And please don't get hung up on the word soul, soul, spirit, whatever. I know that the concept of the soul is often seen in conjunction with more Abrahamic religions. I'm not meaning it in that way. I just mean that there is something that goes beyond the surface and it lives within us. And however you wish to identify that word as, that is totally cool. I'm just using soul because that's how it is translated for Diotima's Ladder of Love. I digress. So I also argue that the shame experienced by girls and women around their bodies positions society to act as an institution in need of being dismantled. So for Celine LaBeouf, what grounds shame of what she and other scholars call the quote-unquote seen body, so what we can physically see, is the internalization of a social gaze. So I found that remark to be really interesting. And it's kind of a fancy academic way of saying all the other shit I ranted about earlier. Is that what we see in our physical bodies that we can touch and that others can gaze upon is riddled sometimes with feelings of shame because we internalize what society says that we should look like, act like, behave. And this goes beyond just what our physical attributes are. This goes to how we use our bodies or don't use our bodies. You know, more to that argument, I think the funniest thing in the world is, you know, if you cover too much of your body, you're prude. If you show too much of your body, you're a slut. I mean, holy fucking shit. When will I win? When will my body be the perfect amount of covered and uncovered for the male gaze or the social gaze? It never will. But we internalize these things because society tells us so. And that trickles down into the media we ingest, the things that we hear, what our families say to us. It's all building upon these concepts of shame around our bodies. So this thing that I'm calling the social gaze, which is really just the standards to which society holds bodies, in particular women, too. So it contributes to internalized trauma, pain, and self-loathing, which is oftentimes what many of us, and I'll speak for myself here, what I certainly experience almost on a daily basis. I had to go up a size in clothing recently. I have to literally remind myself every day, hey, you couldn't walk for months. Hey, you had some serious health concerns. Hey, you had some serious fucking trauma. You went through some shit. You've been sitting for a year and a half getting your fucking PhD. Your hips aren't working. Your shoulder's not working. And just the fact that I had to do all of those things and say all those things to justify why it was quote unquote okay that I lost, gained weight makes me feel really shitty. You know, one of the reasons why I had stopped this podcast and then, you know, eventually restarted it, obviously, hi. But one of the reasons why I had stopped it is because I felt kind of like a traitor a little bit. I was really hating on my body and hating on myself and, you know, having really unhealthy thoughts around my body and my body's abilities. And I make all of these excuses as to why I feel this way. And it wasn't really adding up for me. And I thought, well, I'm not doing this podcast any justice if I feel like I'm telling a lie. And I don't know what's happened recently, but I've experienced a real shift where if I look in the mirror of my body and I don't necessarily like something I see, I go, okay, that's okay. That's okay. I'm a good person. And I'm beautiful. And I say it again and again and again. And it really helps. But there are the dark moments of the soul, you know, the dark nights of the soul, where I'm looking in the mirror and the pants that I used to love don't fit me. And I'm like, oh, I fucking hate myself. And this is this internalized social gaze. This social gaze, the standards that society holds women's bodies to, that creates and contributes to internalized trauma, pain, and self-loathing. Feelings of negativity towards your body, negative self-talk, they are all contributing to this internalized social gaze. And we really need to be mindful of the things that we say to ourselves and to one another. So taking action against weight-based discrimination in the workplace, racial discrimination in healthcare, and religious discrimination against gender nonconforming bodies are only a few examples of the ways in which we can utilize Diotima's call to develop love of laws and institutions as a means to dismantle oppressive political, institutional, and social structures that seek to cause harm and separation from self-love. And I want to remind us all that body positivity, again, goes beyond just the scene or the physical body or my body is large. It trickles into gender affirmation and racial discrimination and religious discrimination. How do I adorn my body? What are the garments I put on my body that are markers for my religion or for my culture or for my sexual orientation or my gender? Are these markers or these adornments on my body sending a signal to someone else that then they react negatively towards me? That's looped in there. It might feel like it's on the outskirts, but I don't think it is. What color is my body? How does my body look and feel? Does my body look like yours? Are the parts on my body different? All of these things are looped in, and they affect the ways in which we move through the world and we operate through these institutions and laws that govern us on a daily basis. So LaBeouf has a really great quote, Celine LaBeouf, and she says, "Body shame can severely damage our ability to flourish as human beings and can lead to alienation from the self." And the whole goal of Diotima's Ladder of Love is to reunite us with ourselves and to unite us with every other body through this act of radical love, self-love. And I believe, again, as I stated like three episodes ago, that self-love starts with the love of your own bodies. But it is so much bigger than that, or at least it can be. I think it is. And that's why all of these things that we don't necessarily feel lives under the body positive umbrella, I think we have to expand our thinking. I think we really, really need to work together in love and compassion with everyone who's facing any kind of system of oppression on an institutional and lawful level. Because all of the decisions that are made that control our bodies affect everyone. And I think that that's something that we really need to start thinking about. So that's the fourth ladder of love. But I want to leave you with some fun goddess magic. And so I've got a little poem here from Whole and Holy, a goddess devotional by Molly Remmer. And it's titled Desire Prayer. And it says, "May I trust my desires, honor my longings, and listen to my dreams. May I know my truth as worthy, my voice as needed, my heart as capable, my fire as unquenchable, my needs as valid, my purpose as powerful, and myself as soft and worthy of time." Thank you for listening to another episode of the Body Positive Goddess Podcast, and I will see you next week.